This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
You're listening to another episode of Loud About Nothing. It's me, your boy, the hottest dude in the podcast game, Sebastian Canelli. And as always, per usual, we got the cute boy here himself, Robbie Boy. Robbie, say hello to the beautiful people.
What's going on, beautiful people?
You checking out your nail beds?
Yeah.
How they doing?
Mid.
Were you shocked that I knew what a nail bed was?
No.
Oh, okay.
You've used that word before.
I know. I was just saying if
you've graduated fifth grade.
No, the nail bed isn't a fifth grade word.
It's got to be.
No.
What level word do you think it is?
Can Ninth I ask you grade? A personal question?
What?
How's your feet doing? You got callous feet?
My feet are not doing great.
This is something, can we speak frankly and bluntly now?
This is gross.
It's not
gross. We took
gross.
2 weeks off. We're talking about gross feet.
I asked how they're doing. Thing. I thought maybe you were going to tell me they're amazing.
They're fine.
Maybe we go hit a place. I've been wanting to do this for a little bit.
For what?
To get a little rub down on the foot.
You want a foot massage?
Not a foot massage.
You want a pedicure?
I want someone to go in there.
So do it.
You're down?
Yeah, I would go.
I can't go by myself. I can't go by myself.
Okay.
I need someone that's going to go with me. I'm scared. I'll be honest. I'm actively scared to go get a pedicure.
Interesting.
You don't think it's going to hurt?
You've never got one before?
No.
I've gotten one before.
Got manis.
Didn't I've like gotten it. One manicure, one pedicure, the same place.
But here's the thing. How old were you when you got that pedi?
It was 2019.
Oh, so recently.
I was in Hawaii.
Oh.
I was like, I'm going to treat myself all the way.
I think that I think I just want someone to go in there. I just have callus on the back of my feet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. I don't like the way a manicure felt either.
No.
Too personal.
Yeah, I don't like people like that touching of like my places that people don't touch.
Yes.
I don't even touch my feet. How often are you touching your feet?
Not a lot.
Almost never. Do you wash your feet in the shower?
Yeah.
You bend down.
Usually, yeah. Or I come up.
Oh, I bring the foot up.
I bring the foot up.
Okay, you yoga king. I didn't know I was sitting here with
sometimes.
With the Bikram yoga master himself. You come up. You bring the foot. Can you bring up your foot up to your nose and smell?
No. No. Not if I'm standing, no.
But you bring the foot up in the shower. You're sometimes. Not worried about a slip. You're not worried about a fall.
No.
You are so...
No, like here, you could... like.
You are so confident in a non-slip, non-fall situation that you will stand on one foot in the shower.
Yes. My least favorite topic.
Is what?
Gross feet. One of my least favorite topics.
It was just something...
It's like, how are your thoughts doing recently? I don't know. This is just not... It grosses me out.
It's not gross. If I don't get to talk to you about it, do you want me to go to someone else about this?
No, you go off mic. We could go. We could have this combo.
But I don't want to have this combo off mic.
All right. I'll go get a pedicure if you want. You don't want a massage?
No, I don't want a massage.
I talked to two guys yesterday who went to the spa. Men are treating themselves in these streets right now.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's great. I think.
Italian men, both Italian in their mid to late 30s to 40s. I'm talking a guy in a sauna yesterday about how he's going to the spa, $1,700 today with him and his girl.
I think that's incredible.
I'm like, yeah, go for it, man.
I think that's...
I just need a date for myself.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I agree. And maybe I'm just like looking for that a little bit. Looking for...
Yeah.
I would like to find a place.
They're both from, grew up, I guess, in the area, and they're going like deep Brooklyn.
Deep Brooklyn's the way to go.
Like Bensonhurst, like.
You go to where the Russians.
I guess, yeah.
The Russians.
Well, no, the one wasn't Russian, because the other guy in the sauna was like, is it the Russian one? And he was like, no, not a Russian
because
one.
Because that's the question to
yeah,
ask.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No offense, but like. The
Russians know how to spa.
Because you know how hard their life is?
Yeah, I guess they need it.
They need, Russians do good. The Russians have great things. You know what they're great at?
What?
Vodka and spying.
I didn't know that.
Because here's the thing. If you look into Russian history, it's the saddest history probably of any country.
Okay.
It's one of the saddest histories out there. Ivan the Terrible killed so many people.
Interesting.
And they just kill people in their country. They're one of the countries that just like mass slaughters everyone.
Okay.
If they don't like someone, rather than execute them, they would just send them to Siberia to die.
Interesting.
They wouldn't even kill them.
Exile.
It wouldn't even be that would be like you're ordered to death by going to Siberia.
Oh wow.
Isn't that insane?
So they were like, "But you'll be able to sit in a sauna."
But
and relax.
So you know what? When you after you send someone to Siberia to die, after you kill thousands of people, you're stressed. So what do you have to do? You gotta relax.
Relax, yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Sorry, I just had to ask. There's some things I don't like to ask.
There's a place you can get a good massage apparently by us, like $60, somebody was telling me.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I don't want a massage.
You don't want that, though?
I just want my foot.
Okay.
I want someone.
Someone to take care of it.
Just rub my feet.
Yeah.
I would never ask. I would never ask a human being I wasn't paying to rub my foot.
For sure.
I would never. I would actually feel uncomfortable.
Uh-oh. Same.
Look, you're going into little kid mode.
Yeah.
Why? Because the feet talk.
Yeah. What's the next? What else are we talking about today? I don't hate feet. Like, a girl's feet are cute.
I could tell you something even grosser.
No, let's do something else.
You don't want to hear something even grosser?
All right, let's hear the gross thing and then we'll move on.
I bought a Fitbit.
Okay.
I bought a Fitbit. First thing I did.
What?
It measures my heart rate. Jerked off and look at the heart rate go up and down.
What was the...
I'm such a child.
Yes.
That's like literally what like a little kid would do.
Yeah. Not me as a little kid. You as a little kid.
Yes, me as a little kid.
Not every little kid. You as a little kid.
As like 13, 14-year-old Sebastian.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got a Fitbit. It says my heart rate. What should I do? Oh, should I go work out? Should I go for a long walk? See if it goes up. I go, let's jerk off. Let's really,
see if this thing really works.
Let's see if this thing really rides.
Let's see if this works. And or let's see if my heart is still responding correctly.
1,000%.
To arousal.
It did.
That's good.
Right, there we go. What do I want to talk about? Well, thank you, everyone. Sorry that we were off last week. We're happy to be back. So, Super Bowl Sunday was yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Happy Super Bowl.
Happy Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes wins again.
Wins again. I think that he gets too much hate.
I love Patrick.
Yeah, I think that he gets too much hate. I think that whole situation. I think people love to hate someone that's great at something. And I actually heard this.
Yeah, but not. They didn't hate Tom Brady like this. I don't like Tom Brady. I'm a Tom Brady hater. But I had reasons for not liking Tom Brady. I just didn't think he was that good. I think Tom Brady was a product of a good situation, and then was in a winning environment for a long time, and then learned how to win correctly on a football team.
So that's good.
Yes. I mean, he was seeing everything. Like, after a certain point, his knowledge of everything, and he studied a lot, and he realized, like, I guess the studying can really help.
Sure.
But
brains over brawn. Do I have to remind you of a Greek fable to get you there?
But he wasn't doing anything terribly impressive in his era where, like, you had someone.
He won the most Super Bowls out of any person that ever lived.
I'm saying on the field. Like, when you watch him. He's throwing like short little passes. You know what I mean? Where there's guys that could really air the ball out. There was guys that could make
Rotten Tomato review of Moneyball. You said worst movie ever.
No,
I only want Barry Bonds hitting grand slams.
No, there's no player on that team that gets all this like praise as being the best. It was like, oh, it was a good team effort. Also, his first few years, he had really good defenses, so he kind of just like rode their wave. And then as he played on, whatever. But I just didn't like Tom Brady. But people love Tom Brady. He didn't get nearly as much hate as Patrick Mahomes.
I can't believe that you're hating. I agree. But it's just funny to me that you're hating on Tom Brady because he figured out a smarter way to play football. Because
he just wasn't that talented.
No, but you're a person. No, smart is talented. Being smart at football is athletic. Talented.
Yeah, but he got to that place, I think, towards the end.
I think that smart has to be part of
it. He played for 20-something years. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. But also then he took care of his body to an elite level that he was able
that he could
to
stay on the field and make those decisions. And yeah.
Like
a lot earlier in his career when I formed my opinions on football, I would watch him. I'm like, this guy isn't great. He just had a good defense and did what he had to do, made short passes. Whereas I liked Peyton Manning, who was the genius. He's like the best of like knowing what's happening on the field, making those calls. And Tom Brady then like was like, oh, I got to do that because your competitors elevate you to a new level.
That's great.
But also then Peyton was like, could air the ball out. Peyton could make throws that Tom couldn't make. Like, and then you had Mike Vick, who could throw the ball 70 yards and fucking run whatever. And now you got like Aaron Rodgers, who I don't like, but better than Tom Brady, I would say, at football.
Here we go.
But then Patrick Mahomes comes along and he's just like, you watch him, you're like, he's the best probably that's ever done this. Because he's has the decision making, he has like the arm, he can fit the ball into crazy scenarios. I mean, they spent no money on
anyone else
on wide receivers this year.
Yeah, because they know,
and they're just like, all right, we're gonna have to make they're the first team to ever win the Super Bowl and lead the league in drop passes of guys just getting the ball like perfect, and then it's just like they don't catch it because they had bad wide receivers.
Wow, shots fired from Rob.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Patrick. I like Patrick Mahomes. I like Patrick Mahomes. But now he's intertwined with all this, like, drama. I guess because of his wife. People don't like his wife. People don't like his brother. People don't like Taylor Swift.
I was going to say this.
What?
That someone was, like, interviewing him, and they said this thing is, like, oh, that he's beyond, like, after love comes hate.
Okay.
In, like, success.
Yeah.
First people like you and some people don't. Then people love you. And after love, people hate you.
Yeah.
Because you're so good. And he was having a conversation with someone about like how the hate creates a legend. So he doesn't mind
the hate
because he knows that's how legends are.
Yeah.
This is how legends are made.
He said something out. He was like, the Chiefs are never the underdog. Because they were underdogs.
Yes.
He's like, the Chiefs are never the underdogs. And that's what it is. They're not going to be the underdogs anymore.
I just think it's really interesting to think of like, oh, if you're so good at something that people will just dislike you at a certain point is what I want to bring up. That like after a certain point that people will just dislike you because so many people loved you.
Yeah. That doesn't always happen though. It didn't happen with Michael Jordan.
It did happen with Michael Jordan.
No, everybody loves Michael Jordan. Who from that generation doesn't love Michael Jordan? Everybody. Nah, not really.
I think there's a lot of people that don't like him as a person.
Maybe.
That think he's a bad person.
Not basketball fans. I would say most basketball fans from that generation love Michael Jordan. Because he got a lot of positive media coverage. Pretty much exclusively positive media coverage.
Well, he opened the NBA up to a new level of success. You know? Success.
Yeah.
So,
but it's not the same as like a LeBron James who has gotten hate pretty much since he's been in the league.
Well, the NBA protected Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and the media. And people love him.
Welcome back. We've been studying sports for the past...
I like to talk sports. You want to talk sports? We'll talk sports.
I'll tell you this. I just want to say the interesting thing about at a certain point, love becomes hate.
Yes.
That's all I was getting towards.
Okay.
I just thought that was like...
I don't know if I necessarily agree, but okay.
I think that most people, if they hit a certain level of fandom, people start to hate them. Like, I just heard this thing that people hate Will Ferrell. Did you know that?
No.
I did not know that either. There's large groups of people that hate Will Ferrell.
Interesting. I did not know that.
People love him so much.
Interesting.
It's contrarians.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah, I think... And so I imagine there's people like that with Michael Jordan, because I think there's more reasons to hate Michael Jordan than there is to hate Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Like, a lot more, if we're being honest about it. Like, there's these, like, people hate Tina Fey.
Okay.
Which blows my mind.
Yeah.
How could you hate her?
I don't know.
She's so likable.
She's very likable.
She's so I think that like you and I was like thinking a lot about like you love becomes hate because people are haters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that
they're close emotions. One of my favorite quotes. The opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference.
I almost farted.
And I me and my ex used to argue about that quote because she didn't believe me. But I think that love and hate are very close. It's like a switch because it's such a heightened emotion. And if you're already there at that heightened emotion, it's like easy to switch. I think the opposite of that is zero emotion.
Wow. Yeah, turning emotions off is hard.
Or like just not caring about
that's
something.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you love someone, to turn their emotions off is hard.
It's hard, yeah. So you switch it to hate.
Yes, that's why people hate people after they break up, because that's easier.
Yes. I think you're truly over somebody when you don't think of them at all anymore.
Yeah,
not when you hate them.
Or if you see them and you don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indifference.
So why did you bring that up?
We're talking about love and hate. Love, you're up at this level of love and it turns into hate. Because I'm saying they're close. I think they're very close to each other.
Yeah. I think that people... I also think that to hate someone that much creates more media coverage for you.
Definitely.
Yeah, so it's like a good thing at the end of the day.
They want... Yeah. It's also easy to get people to hate something.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's so easy to have someone hate something.
Yeah.
Just the, like, the
rhetoric... To create these narratives.
The narrative that you put out. Like, we have no idea... We have no idea the stories that we're forced to read.
100%.
What'd you think about Travis Kelce screaming at Andy Reid?
Not a good look. What? Travis Kelce is doing a lot of icky things during this Super Bowl. I had to turn off his fucking post-game interview.
He was embarrassing.
Beyond embarrassing. I don't give a shit you just won the Super Bowl. It was embarrassing.
Travis Kelce at the end of the Super Bowl looked like the drunk cousin at a wedding getting up to like grab the microphone and be like, I know Mike fucked a lot of girls.
Yes. Right? It was very much that energy.
It was like he had to sing a song at the wedding. Yeah. You know? It was very cringy.
I had to turn it off. I had turned the volume down.
It's kind of crazy that's like the picture that everyone's showing is Travis Kelce screaming in an old man's face.
And he bumped him. I mean, they asked Andy Reid about it like four or five times in the post-game interview.
And Andy Reid was nice about
it. He covered for him a lot.
That's a good coach. That's why he's winning coaching awards.
He goes, I want that. I like that for my players. He goes, I yell at him a lot, so it's okay. I want that. He just was telling me he wants to be on the field. I'd rather that. They asked him a lot of times. And every time he's just like reinforcing that it's okay. It's okay. This is the environment we created. But Patrick doesn't do that.
No, because...
Patrick, you can't get mad. I think that's the one thing that Andy was saying. He's like, he just encourages people. You want people to feel confident.
Yeah.
You want people to lose confidence at the biggest stage and start questioning themselves. Like, you need to be hyping these people up and getting the best version of them.
The best acting job I ever had was a person that made me feel confident as I was...
Yeah, that's how you want anyone to feel
at
everything.
That's not the way it is most...
Really?
Oh.
With acting.
They don't tell you shit. An actor like me that goes in for a day?
Yeah.
I'm fucking a cockroach. You know what I mean? I'm basically a pawn. And I want to talk about some acting stuff for a second. Right?
Okay.
Super Bowl commercials have literally gone over the line. All it is Super Bowl commercials. I've said this before. It's famous people on famous people on famous people selling products they shouldn't even care about. It's people with millions and millions of dollars being like, fuck Suzanne that lives on the Upper West Side and has two kids. She doesn't, let's not worry about the kids. I could use another in-ground pool. I'm gonna advertise the cold brew. I'm gonna do this. It's fucking ridiculous that these people went on strike, the actors, and these multimillionaires that have all the money, that have so much money. We have Friends actors and stuff. We have Sir Anthony Hopkins selling cold brew. He was knighted by a queen. And he's 90 years old. And he goes, you know what I need? Not even American. He's 90 years old. He's a knight. Not American. And he goes, I'd do a Super Bowl ad. What was the SAG strike for? You are, these actors are Amazon. They don't realize everyone else needs to eat.
Yeah.
They
don't care about their union.
They do not care for a second.
Yeah, everyone people else, don't realize this used to be like the minor leagues. Commercial acting would be the minor leagues to getting real jobs and like keeping you afloat and all this stuff. You don't have A-Rod at his prime going back to play for the Staten Island Yankees.
It's 1,000% that. It literally is these people. People would be commercial actors because they would have, that's how they would pay the bills.
Yeah, they need to make a living. Obviously, they want to be in fucking movies.
Of course, no one dreams of being a commercial actor.
No, Flo from Progressive wanted to be a movie star.
Yes.
Let's be real.
1,000%.
Yes.
But you know what happened?
She got a good job and kept it and did a good job on that, and they kept her going.
And kept her going, and now she makes a living. That's what we call a working actor. This is why working actors don't exist anymore.
No.
It's because... Oh, when it's time to give someone the gig to be in the Super Bowl ad, who should we go with? Tom from New Jersey or Beyonce?
Yeah.
Who are we going to go
with? I know. These celebrities just are obsessed with clout, and they're like, all right, I can get off some clout. If they didn't think it would give them, like, it's giving them visibility. It's like, oh, this is a good move. No, just do your own thing. You have an Instagram with 100 million followers. You can just post it there, and a lot of people will see.
It doesn't. You don't need to be.
This could feed a family for a year.
This could send 3 kids to college.
Yes.
It could send kids to college, but instead Ben Affleck goes, I'll do it.
That kind of disheartened me to see Ben Affleck do that whole
Ben
thing.
Affleck, Matt Damon, Tom Brady, J-Lo, that's one commercial.
I know.
That could feed half of a town in New Jersey.
And they could, yeah. And then they just rely on the celebrity for the ad. The whole ad is that we have celebrities in it.
Oh, I guess who shows up?
There used to be like creative ads. Now the creativeness is just like, we got more celebrities.
Yep.
That's how, like.
We're living in a hellhole.
So they're not paying writers either.
No. Nope.
They're not getting fun writers or comedy writers, whatever. It's just like, let's squeeze as many fucking celebrities in this as possible.
We have to realize, Robbie, we have entered an age where the gate has, I guess I've never realized it. The gate has closed.
What gate?
The gates to the rich and the poor.
Oh.
A gate has closed.
Yeah.
Very few make it through the other side, and they keep that closed.
Yes.
What does Hollywood want?
What?
Not to have little actors make money. They want them to stay poor.
Yeah.
They want to give it to J-Lo. You know why? Because J-Lo listens. J-Lo fucking listens.
Well, it's funny. We were talking about this recently, and we said, like, Ice Spice, they let Ice Spice in. And then you see the Super Bowl, and she's in the box.
Yeah.
She looks bored half the time. Ice Spice is real.
Because she's figuring it out.
She's not really like...
Trust.
She looked the least like, I am not going to put on a show for anybody. And that's because she's new. She's new to the club.
I mean...
They just let her in.
I like Taylor Swift, but it looks like she was striking poses to, like, she practiced how to look in the box. She knows. I mean, that's not her fault.
No.
But I think that that literally they are gatekeeping now the shittiest part of acting, commercials.
Yes.
I cannot believe what are they going to gatekeep next? Industrials? What, are you going to get hired by Pfizer? And then all of a sudden, who's going to be in the commercial? Nicole Kidman? That's who we see when we go to the movies.
Yes.
When we go to the movies and you sit down to watch a movie, who's telling you that you're about to enjoy a movie? Nicole fucking Kidman.
Yeah.
You know who used to do that? Literally NYU students used to make films before the movies.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is truly, I cannot believe these people went on strike. We should be striking the actors. We should be striking actors. And I also want to fucking say this. If we're going to stoop to commercials, we can't call it a fucking art form anymore, okay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I love you, Ian McKellen. If you're just doing commercials, you're not an artist. You're a fucking money slut.
Yeah.
You're a slut for money.
Yeah. Damn, that's crazy.
That's not art.
No.
And you know what? I don't know. Da Vinci maybe he was getting a lot of money from the Pope. Maybe everyone was just a money slut.
No.
Maybe I'm just discovering this now.
Maybe so. I don't know.
Oh, it's. They said my heart rate just went up.
As it should. This is crazy.
Almost as high as me coming.
Yeah. I mean, somebody's got to have some fucking, I don't know, sense of the art.
It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
I used to watch the, when I first started doing improv, I would watch it and I would notice all these improvisers and actors that would be in the ads.
And they would be able to survive for a year or two.
That was a year for them.
Yeah.
And it was almost like a gift. Super Bowl came around, and these people were able to be like, thank God I could pursue my craft now for another year because I was given a couple of lines.
Yeah.
You know who has that part now? David fucking Schwimmer.
I know.
David Schwimmer, the multi-millionaire from Madagascar series that owns Friends.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that it's actually absurd that these people were striking with the same people that like make SAG minimum. I don't have fucking health insurance. I literally showed up to a place. I showed up to a place to go to a fucking nutritionist because I hate my fucking body and I can't stand who I am and I want to get that in order. I show up there and they go, you can't come here because you're a poor little bitch. Because
you don't make the SAG minimum.
I drove to Staten Island because I said, I need to be by my parents after I do this because I'm going to feel sad.
Yes.
I'm going to be stressed. This is going to be a lot for me emotionally. I drove to Staten Island to be close to my family so I could emotionally handle this. I get there. They go, you don't deserve this, you little fucking bitch. They go, get out of our office and get rich.
They go, get me Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. I can't even be fat.
No.
I can't even show up to a place and say, hey, can I get a little help?
No.
They say no. Yeah, I'm.
Because you need to make a certain amount, which is not even that much money necessarily, in order to get health insurance.
It's
And you know what would give you that? One commercial.
One.
At the Super Bowl would get you health insurance for a year.
The only time.
I don't think people realize the way that the industry works at all.
I had something on my body I had to get looked at or something, right? I had to pay money for that.
Yeah.
Because unless I want to go to the emergency room.
Yeah.
And you know when the only years I didn't have to? When I booked commercials. Well, anyways, this is an official
announcement. It's crazy.
It's absurd. And this
crazy.
Is an official announcement that Josh Gad will be taking over my role in the podcast.
Josh Gad.
Fucking kill me.
Yeah.
I cannot believe these people picketed with everyone else in SAG.
It's wild.
And then say yeah, we need
better
rates.
Were they just addicted to any level of attention?
Yeah, they just want attention.
They
go, we want.
I'm gonna start clocking who's not doing it,
so you can't have the job.
Yeah,
it's almost a tease. We have to remember, multi-million dollar celebrities are on the side of the networks
for the most part.
Yeah, yeah,
they want clout, which they get from the acting jobs, and then they are mostly producers.
They said strike with us so we could fill the table with food so you could watch our seats.
Yeah.
What a bunch of fucking bitches.
It's crazy.
Right? What a bunch of fucking assholes. And
I didn't realize it was that bad, that it was all pretty much A-list celebrities.
You didn't see?
No. That's wild.
I mean, there's a few commercials, but like almost every single commercial was A-list celebrities.
Yeah.
They had a Beyonce commercial, and like Beyonce's like assistant person was played by Tony Hale.
I know.
An actor who has been in so many sitcoms, has so much money.
Yeah.
No one has any integrity. I'm surprised we didn't see the Pope in a fucking commercial.
I don't know. It's crazy. I mean,
I'm surprised Obama didn't have a commercial. It makes me furious because I'm out here and I can't even get coverage to see someone about my emotional pain. I'm on the phone with people being like, hey, can I see your therapist? No, you can't because you're on this type of health first, not that type of health first.
That's crazy.
And I go, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
At a certain point, I'm just going to walk up to a place and shoot myself in front of one of the greatest comedic actors of all times.
I don't know about that. But
at a certain point, they have to realize that they're the bad guys.
I hope that. Yeah, I don't think they do. They don't have much of a sense of reality.
And here's the thing.
I think they're very departed from reality.
If I become famous, I will become one of them instantly.
No, you don't do that.
It's just truly crazy that they don't realize that they just let other people eat.
I know.
Let other people eat.
You're about to get on a plane. Matt Damon's going to tell you how to evacuate. Like what?
You think that's a joke?
What?
That's going to happen.
I hope
that's
not.
That's going to happen.
Hey, it's me
I
from
saw
Delta.
Daniel Day-Lewis on Sitco TV the other day.
No.
I was pumping my gas. and he was doing method that he was the gasoline pump.
We can't. I mean, people don't realize that acting is a job. It was a working class job. You could do a play and you could do a commercial every now and then. You could make a living being an actor.
I was taught when I was coming up by people, they would go, Sebastian, they go, you're doing good. They go, you'll be able to be like an electrician.
You'll be able to make a living, yeah.
Yes, that's what they go, that the goal is that you could become an electrician. And that has completely gone out the window.
I guess if people have become so, well, with social media and everything, it's kind of a lot of it's blended. And they're just like, I need attention, 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 followers, followers, followers. If I do this commercial, that'll get eyes on me for a little bit. Maybe somebody will book me. Because it's just like they're so self-conscious almost.
If you're out of the line, if you're out of like trending for 10 seconds, yeah. It's like, oh, we're struggling.
Now that I mentioned it, I don't know if this is true. I didn't watch a lot of the thing, but a lot of the younger kids I did not see.
No. Yeah.
The kids coming up.
Yeah, it's old
people. What's his name? Tom Holland. Good on Tom Holland. He's going to do a play in the West End, I saw.
Great.
Recently.
Great. I love that.
I like if the young kids are like, we want to be actors.
At least he's an actor.
Chalamet didn't do any. Did he do an ad?
I didn't see it.
Chalamet?
Davidson did.
But who? Pete? But that's
but Pete's
Pete lane.
Needs it. Pete
Pete's
needs
not an actor.
He's not an actor. He's not.
He's hardly a comedian.
I know. Pete.
This
needs,
is Pete's lane.
Pete's
he's
lane
a clout
needs commercial.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a commercial.
Yes.
SNL.
He's showing up at.
He'll do a special every few years.
Courtside by the Knicks.
We want to see what he's doing in his life a little bit.
When you say, what's Pete known for? You go, for being around.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love
Pete's
that.
Allowed to do the commercials.
I 100% agree. It's
Tony Hale. What are we. Come on, man.
I mean, that's not even my problem. My problem is Jennifer Aniston.
Is
Sir Ian McKellen. My problem is Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
It's like these.
Even with Academy Awards. Once you get an Academy Award, you shouldn't be allowed to do a commercial.
Can we put that in the
maybe
contract?
5 years before and after you do a big commercial, no awards eligibility.
And
I think this is a good rule.
It has to be. It should
what
be.
We can't give you an Oscar if you did a Super Bowl commercial. 3 weeks later, you're going to get an Oscar. Like, granted, none of them did that. I don't think. The people that are. But Hopkins won 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe last year. I think two years ago he won.
When he played the father
with dementia.
Yeah, tremendous movie.
You
maybe
should be banned
feel
from doing.
Horrible inside.
You should be banned from
and
doing.
And now he's
going
to tell me the cold brew to drink? Now he's going to tell. It's not even a good commercial.
Yeah.
If he was doing a commercial, if Anthony Hopkins showed up in a commercial and then he's like promoting ending world hunger, I go, good on you, brother. Good on you.
Sure.
But if you're promoting, if George Clooney's there and we're promoting Nespresso pods,
yes,
you gotta go
stupid
fuck
bit.
Yourself.
Oh, Clooney was in an ad, right? Yeah.
You gotta.
What are we doing, George
people
Clooney?
People are in on the regular.
You sold your tequila company for $1 billion.
For a billion.
What are we doing?
Taking advantage of people in another country.
Yeah. We don't need.
Everyone that owns these tequila companies are fucking scumbags,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. I know, my boy LeBron has one.
It's
a scummy move. I agree.
It's a scummy move.
LeBron he's not perfect by any means.
But you know what? It's people whispering in LeBron's
100%.
Ear. 100%.
But at a certain point, you're LeBron.
You got the devil in your ear telling 100%. You what you could do. Like, I know at a certain point, here's the problem. And I am a man that struggles with excess. But to just build a country and only on excess is a problem.
It's sad.
If we're a country of excess.
Yes.
Says the fat man screaming at no one.
Yeah. No, it is sad. And
it is
for
sad.
Someone who you did just go through the whole strike and then you couldn't work during the
went
strike.
Went through the whole strike. To
you couldn't work.
I recognize
like you make money from working.
The people
and
don't
this
realize.
Set you back. Let's be real. You not working for 8 months set you back.
I did a commercial I probably made $50,000 from once.
Okay.
That set me up for like a couple years.
Yeah,
it
that's
helped
nice.
Me, like,
I don't
survive.
Think people realize this.
People don't realize that.
No. They don't understand the working class versus elitist class dynamics in Hollywood. And then it's annoying because they're like, oh, Hollywood's so liberal. Hollywood is not that liberal when it comes to like actually putting money in like workers' pockets.
This is like Jeff Bezos saying, he's a monster, right? But Jeff Bezos going, you know what? I'll own the company. I'll make the products. I'll package it and I'll deliver it too.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, I'll do every level of Amazon.
Yeah.
I'll do every level.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
We need to pay people to have a functioning society.
We have to, there has to be tiers.
Yeah, people need to make money.
There has to be tiers.
Well, this is what's sad about, this is the way the country's going, is we're just trying to funnel money to the richest people in every industry.
I'm like, there's a door.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you got behind the rich door,
yeah.
It's closing quick.
It's pretty much,
no one's
going to
own property. No one's going to own cars. No one's going to own anything. It's just going to be four people that, the fear of Monopoly is real. I play Monopoly and I pee-pee my pants.
Yes.
I do a little pee-pee in my pants when I listen when I do a
Monopoly. I don't play Monopoly. Do you play Fall Guys? Do you know Fall Guys?
No, I don't play Fall Guys.
So the concept of Fall Guys is there's like five rounds. There's 40 people it starts. And then the first round, they knock off, say, like eight people. Then you do a new challenge. They knock off people. And then you have one winner at the end. I don't think people realize that this is going to be like Fall Guys. So we're not making this door. But then there's another door that's going to, like, the door is going to keep closing until there's going to be less. And people are just like, I want to get in this door. Where it's like, no, we should just stop the doors from happening.
That's what Jennifer Aniston doesn't realize.
There's going to be She's a door gonna that's going to close on yes. her at one point. Maybe not. She'll
probably
I think she owns herself, a production like. Company. Like, she might have like $100 million, $200 million, $300
she
million.
She was like one of the highest paid TV actors of all time.
She should, yeah. Yeah, she should not have to work again and definitely not do things that aren't like full passion projects. Unless this is your fucking passion, then it's embarrassing.
To do Uber Eats.
Yeah.
Also,
100%, it is also embarrassing.
She's fucking Uber Eats and flowers. Like, if we're going to do an Uber Eats ad, let me fucking do it. Yeah. Have me in the bed.
Give Sebastian
the guy's
Cannelli
calling
$50,000.
This is what the Uber Eats commercial was, literally Jennifer Aniston Uber Eats, Uber getting the Uber Eats, and it was flowers and a bunch of like goods for the home. And then David Schwimmer goes to hug her and she goes, oh, I'm sorry, and like says no. This is what Uber Eats commercial should be. Ready? It's me in my bed. I get two phone calls. Like, oh, shit, the guy's outside. I'm completely naked. You just see my ass. I throw on a shirt, sweatpants, no underwear. Put on shoes, no socks. I go outside, complete disaster. I grab the food. The guy goes, wait, I need the picture. I go, just don't get my face. Then it goes Uber Eats. And it cuts to me in the bed, taking a bite of a burger and ketchup landing on my pillow.
Yeah.
Not me ordering flowers to a set.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
What is that? Uber Eats, know who you fucking deal with.
Who's ordering this? And who's what's going to make them want to order it?
Who's ordering?
Yes.
Who's
Who is this relatable to, ordering flowers to a set?
No one. No one. You know what it should be? It should be like two parents show up at home. They open the fridge. There's tons of food. But the other one just goes, I can't.
Yeah.
And then Uber Eats shows up.
They no, they're not making good ads.
A relatable commercial.
No.
Nothing was relatable. The Verizon commercial was like, can Beyonce break the internet? You know what Verizon commercials used to be? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, which is relatable.
Which is just,
and
does
they
the
made
cell
that
phone
guy
work?
A super celebrity.
That guy was able to live a happier life because he did those commercials.
100%. He would never exist now. Maybe Jared. They let a rando in.
Maybe Jared
fucked it up for everybody. They just let a normie in. And they're like, no, if we're going to have a face of our brand, he's got to be vetted. And a PR. Know the Hollywood PR scheme.
Jesus.
No, it's not good.
And here's the thing. I'm on the phone with insurance trying to figure out my fucking insurance.
Yeah.
Nightmare. It's one of the worst people to be on the phone with.
Too, during the strike. Now it's just a lot of A-list celebrities also doing like indie films, A24 movies. I saw Denzel's doing one.
Yeah.
It's just the biggest actors ever were moving into, because they...
And you know who they take
care
of?
They're addicted to the cloud.
Their kids.
Yeah.
They're addicted.
The kids.
They take care of their kids.
They're addicted to that more than...
Than the arts.
Than the art, yeah.
No one likes
it's not to be, about the art as
No one
much.
Likes to be an actor.
Really?
I mean, they do, and then at a certain point they go, wait, oh, I could get my dick sucked and people high-five me as I do it.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, wait, I could... And even more powerful than getting things is having not people not get things.
Yeah.
Once you start getting things over other people, that's when it feels good.
And it becomes a ego game, I guess.
Yeah.
No, it's sad.
Yeah, acting's just an ego game.
Yes.
Acting and even podcasts. The amount of celebrities that do podcasts disgusts me.
I feel you.
I can't even do a podcast anymore without having to compete. Who am I competing with?
We know. We compete with huge billion-dollar companies.
Yes.
I don't know if any people know. Me and Sebastian do everything.
No one does
From
anything.
From the beginning, it is. We took a break last week, which was the first week that we took off that wasn't you on vacation or one of us having either COVID or being on a vacation.
And people
that
were
was
pissed.
Our first staycation.
I heard so many messages.
Really?
About why you didn't get any?
No.
Yeah, we lost a bunch of Patreon members.
Oh, damn.
I mean, I get it. You're paying. I understand. Like,
well, we'll be back. We're going to do a Patreon. Back. We're doing a Patreon after today. But it's just no one has ever really. We booked guests that we know, obviously, that help a little bit. But we don't. There's no industry behind this. And people start podcasts with millions and millions of dollars of backing for marketing, for being able to book celebrity. They
you
have booking agents. They partner with WME. Like,
yeah.
All of these things have. They want to sell ads, so they're like, we can just get celebrities to sell ads via podcasts.
You know who painted the wall? My father.
Your father. We built this whole studio. We did shows at Asylum and built up, saved money to build a studio. We were doing it on Zoom beforehand. Everything we've done, we have just made this money and built from money that we've made from this podcast.
Yeah.
It is not.
And I can't even go see a doctor. I can't even go see a doctor.
And I think this is a good show. I think it's probably better than a lot of celebrities. What do celebrities have to talk about? They're really getting less and less relatable.
They have nothing to do. You know what they have to talk about? They talk about products they sell.
Yeah.
It's just selling. Yes. Everything is selling.
Yeah. Which I hope. I mean, I don't think we'll ever get to that.
We can't even. We lost our ad.
No.
We lost our ad. What are we talking here?
No, we have our
We lost.
We have nothing right
we
now.
We have nothing.
But please join the Patreon. Please come back.
We don't even
if
have
you
a
left,
sponsor,
if you
Robbie.
Left, come back.
We don't.
We got lost. Tea. We have tea. I brought a book. We'll play some games.
We lost our sponsor.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
What are we talking here?
We love Sunset Lake CBD. They kept us alive.
They did, but.
A beautiful weed farm in northern Vermont.
I hear that they're now with Obama.
No, we love them. Shout out Sunset Lake CBD. They kept us alive.
Yeah, shout outs.
But yes. I don't think people realize the business of entertainment and how increasingly difficult it is getting.
I'm on the phone. Yeah.
People also don't want to take risks. They're just like, they assign a dollar value to people that's like, they'll bring in this, they'll bring in that, and they don't want to take any risks. And it's just becoming less and less. The door is closing more and more.
Yeah. Yeah, the door's closing. I know the door's closing, and I just have to figure.
And people break through, obviously.
Sure, I don't even care.
But it's very luck. Care. It's very luck based, because you got to break through on something that they already assume will be a hit because they're going to put a bunch of money in it, and then hopefully they're just casting a small role, and people fall in love with
you.
Can
I tell you this? I'll tell everyone what a rate for a small role is. It's $1,000. It's like $1,100.
Yeah.
Right? $1,100
for a day.
For a day. And then you have to give your agents 10% and you lose taxes. You
walk home with and your manager.
You walk home with six.
Yeah. 600.
And usually you have to do a fitting, a day of shooting, auditions.
Yes.
Probably two auditions. So you probably at all said and done make less than minimum wage.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that.
Close. I mean, with the audition, the fitting, getting to sets. Usually, it's a 12-hour day on set.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, and all the time that you spent getting good at this, it's not free training.
It's just so annoying.
A lot
to
of
me.
Other jobs they pay to train you.
It's so annoying to me to watch, all these famous people just eat.
Yeah,
I know. I keep using the word eat, and I'm fat.
That's the right word.
Get over it. Eats. I can have nothing, man.
Please join the Patreon. The Patreon's good, and we are putting out 3 a month. I would say we've been averaging maybe one week off a month on the Patreon, but we're putting out content. You could ask us anything you want. We're definitely talking a lot more intimately on the Patreon.
Yes,
and honestly,
Robbie
about
me about his foreskin.
I have some tea. No, I'm still not trying to talk about gross feet or anything.
No, I know.
But we
know.
Talk about I don't know nice our personal lives a little bit more.
I get nothing, man.
No.
I'm like trying to find ways to be happy. I know this is constantly my journey.
Yeah.
This is constantly my journey.
Yes.
So I find something.
Which is what?
I find out that in New Jersey, there's a Shrek-themed indoor water park.
Which is fun.
Now, how beautiful does that sound? I go on the website. I say, I love Shrek, a plus-size icon.
Yes.
I go on the website for the water park. There is a weight limit to fucking go into the water park.
That's
wild. I cannot go to the Shrek-themed water park because I'm too fat. Shrek wouldn't be allowed to go to the fucking water park.
That's wild.
I can't even find happiness in a fake plus-size person.
That's wild. You can't have a Shrek-themed water park.
Are they going to weigh me to go see Kung Fu Panda 4?
I hope not.
Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah. You can't have a weight limit
to go to a Shrek event.
Yeah.
For a Shrek event.
Yeah. Anything Shrek. That's a whole movie.
I can't even go to the Shrek water park.
Is he's an ogre. He feels like an outcast. He feels like he doesn't belong. And they're going to they don't people are just missing the essence of everything.
I can't even go, and I'm not looking to go on the, I want to go on a lazy river.
You just want
river.
The vibes of the Shrek themed water park.
I could technically go in and sit in the chair.
But they can't, that's wild.
But I hear they're armchairs and they're real tight. Truly.
Shrek for skinny people. That's wild.
It broke my heart. It truly.
They need to figure that out.
Robbie, I cannot tell you how. I'm looking up things that I could do that's going to give me some joy. I find the Shrek-themed water park. I go, I'm going to go with my nephew.
Yeah, of course.
Thank God I didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
It broke my heart that I'm too fat to like Shrek.
That's unfortunate. That's crazy. I'm sorry that happened.
Truly a man that got hot and fit. And said, no, that's not who I am. Let me go back to my body.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What a fucking beating.
Yeah, that's tough.
What a fucking beating.
Taking some L's.
I'm taking L's. I'm on the phone with
insurance. Seeing L's.
I'll tell you this. Nothing is scarier. Nothing is more ominous and a worse feeling than calling an insurance company to find out what doctors you could go to.
Okay.
I'm on the phone with them. And first off, they hang up willy-nilly.
I hate when that happens.
I don't know if insurance companies, they're just all in the van and they're just driving back and forth through tunnels. I don't know what's happening. If they're in a mobile bus in the mountains and they just keep losing service. Because it's not me.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a problem with hearing me on the phone for my apartment?
No.
Every insurance company goes, I can't hear you.
Damn. And I mean, yeah.
I'm on the phone with them, and at the end of every call, this is what insurance companies say to me. Bye for now. Bye for now is what they say in a horror movie.
Yeah.
When they,
that's what the villain would say.
The villain says bye for now. And I
you
know.
You may have won this one, but I'll be back.
I know. The insurance companies know that they're the villain.
For sure.
And they say bye for now. And I know it's on their script because every person that I talk to at Health First said bye for now.
That's wild.
That's what the Joker says after he jumps off the building after Batman wins the one fight. Bye for now.
Yeah. 100%.
That is what
and
the
they are. They're
says.
Maybe more evil than the Joker, if we're being real. If we were to all the insurance companies combined, yeah, definitely more evil.
Yeah, man. They are evil people.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, it's racketeering. Tony Soprano could only dream of a job like that.
I wish I joined
to be able to have health insurance.
Yes.
to run health insurance. He would get rid of drugs. He would get rid of any other whatever. I don't know what kind of business the Sopranos are really in, but all of the illegal activity he would doing, he would trade if he could just run a health insurance company.
Most of America just did illegal activity until they made it legal.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I was on the phone with you. Damn. It was just L after L.
Yeah, that's tough.
I drove to Staten Island. I couldn't believe. When I was driving home, I stopped at
Well,
because
then
jokes.
You were telling me, because the insurance trip was a nightmare, and you were saying that you were calling ahead to be like, I don't want to waste my time. So you were like really making sure that these places would take the insurance because places weren't. So you were trying to get ahead of these issues because you could foresee them. So yeah. Then to get ahead of it, and then you show up, and then they're like, oh, no, actually, we were wrong, is wild. It's like, I called for this reason.
I wasted money.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
I
After I spoke to you, join the Patreon, please. Join the Patreon.
Please. This is not.
So no, people, I know you're not saying that. I didn't get a Super Bowl ad. Let me join the Patreon.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, there's ways to support. Even just listening, tell a friend. Share a clip. Like a clip.
I need to be able to talk about this without it feeling.
No, no, it's not an ad. It's not an ad.
I'm not trying to be manipulative.
No, I know, I know. It's not an ad. I am.
I called you.
Because it's hard.
I called you after that happened.
Yeah.
And I believe I said this. I go, I guess I have to do it all on my fucking own.
Yeah.
It like blew my mind.
Yeah. Well, that is what it is, but
so,
then they make it impossible to do on your own because they charge so much money because the insurance is supposed to pay. It's a scam. It's all a scam.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. And so, because I'm just looking at hobbies. I'm looking at things like, I'm also like looking at Shrek Water. I'm like looking to help myself and find things to make myself happy.
That's good. No, it was a lot of fun. I hung out with my cousin and his friends from Queens. Nice. And they're funny.
Oh, yeah.
No. They're not those vibes. The
many people.
Yeah.
They're not those vibes.
No, not at all. It's always surprising how, like, to themselves, they are. Or how unaffected by, like, I guess I'm calling it gentrifier, like, issues or just, like, tea or, like, drama or gossip of, like, this whole world that New York is for people that come and have their own playground. And how different it is for, like, my cousin and his friends who grew up here. Yeah. Like, they're going to Gravesend, like, a part of Brooklyn that most people, I don't think, that move here. And they're like, I know Brooklyn. There's all this Brooklyn drama. And Brooklyn is, like, a flag that people wear of, like, I live in Brooklyn. And, like, their Brooklyn is totally different.
Of course.
And it's just, you completely are reminded that. I mean, you obviously, the people you grow up with view the city in a totally different way and all that kind of stuff.
It's
similar, they are very kept to themselves.
Yeah, you don't go.
They don't know about the drama.
You know how many people I know from Staten Island have been to Carbone? Two?
Yeah.
Like, they don't give a shit.
No. Which maybe my cousin would go to Carbone or Italian. You know what I mean? Like, but it's like a thing. No, I know.
Like,
yeah.
Like these things that people like search
the lists
out.
And the TikToks of all that. Maybe they'll see it and be like, oh, I saw some shit or some girl sent me this thing. They want to go to
it
this
would be
in
to
the
impress
city.
Someone or
yeah. No, it's not.
No.
I mean, he famously went on a date with a stripper to the Bronx Zoo. My cousin's friend.
Famously.
But
not a bad date.
No, Bronx Zoo's a great date.
I heard.
How many people were doing Bronx Zoo
dates? The animals were like, well, you brought a show to us.
But that's what you.
They're like, we've never seen the lions wake up all day long, but wow. the elephants are letting everyone out. Oh, we got a stripper here.
Yeah, you got to go to the Bronx Zoo.
I guess one of the orangutans was getting married.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, it's a nice place. Your sister got married at the Bronx Zoo.
Yeah, what does that have to do with these stripper jokes?
No, there's no joke. It just like is a nice. It's not. It's like a nice.
Yeah, it's a nice.
I don't think people talk about it.
About the Bronx Zoo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyways, he had
nice.
This
here's,
whole.
Wait. Here's the thing. The zoo itself is nice. Around the zoo is a fucking nightmare. It's one of the like the worst places to like get to in the city.
Yeah. It's, that's what I was talking about. I'm like, I can't go on a date to the Bronx Zoo. I don't have a car. I can't take the 4 or 5.
Nah,
that's not a fun date. That's a
you're not like I'm sorry, Robbie. Your vibes, you're not like welcome in that neighborhood. Like you'll be
I don't have
people
the best
will say
energy.
Shit to you.
Yeah,
people say shit to me over there. You know,
yeah.
It's like a predominantly black neighborhood that like they don't like that.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
I get that for sure.
Sure, it's like a struggling hard neighborhood.
They don't want people
and to see
coming
you
in and ruining. Yeah,
walking in with some young, nice, pretty woman with
in
a beautiful skirt. She has a single rose because I know you do that for every date.
Every date.
A single rose. He buys 12 and he goes, okay, I got 4 days.
I hung out with someone that I went on a date with last year and we don't speak romantically really anymore. And she gave me notes, which was nice.
That is nice. Good for you.
It was a nice, it's good to get notes.
What are you going to adjust?
She told me, well, she said I was one of her best dates ever, which was nice because I had herpes at the time. So I'm like, all right.
At the time?
Yeah. I mean, I have herpes all the time, but it was active. Active herpes on my face.
That's good.
And she said I didn't watch the door. She's like, I thought you were supposed to be like Italian. Don't you know you're supposed to watch the door? And I'm like, I mean, her ex.
That's not a real date. That's not a real date note.
Yeah, but it was funny.
Yeah, okay.
But no, she said it was a nice. I mean, we sat and talked. I mean, we ended the date. I'm like, doing Lion King kisses with my cheek because we can't kiss. So I'm just like, I say goodbye. I mean, it's not really
nuzzling.
No, you just say goodbye and you like maybe do a little extra cheek action.
That's nuzzling.
I guess maybe for a second.
You're out here nuzzling girls.
I guess.
And you go, can you feel no. the love?
I mean, we talked for like until 2 a.m. on a Sunday night. It was pleasant. But for someone, she's like, you should have gave me the other seat. She told me that.
If you're anyone from Lion King, you're Timon.
Timon?
Yeah.
He's so annoying. I'm young Simba. What are we talking? I just can't wait to
you
be.
You are 30 years old. You cannot be young Simba.
Everyone
wants to be young Simba, but we have to realize who we are in our life, Robbie. I don't want to be Pumbaa, but that's how the cards fell, man.
Yeah. And I'm Timon.
Yeah, man.
We're Pumbaa and Timon.
A little bit.
I had this shirt for the longest time that was Hakuna Matata, and then Tata was in pink, and it was like for breast cancer awareness, and I would wear it once a week for probably 5 years.
That's
love
nice.
I love Hakuna Matata. I love Timon and Pumbaa. And Pumbaa.
Yeah. You cannot relate to children in movies anymore.
Okay.
You gotta move. Everyone wants to be young Simba.
Yeah.
Because he was a prince.
Of course, you're right.
Everyone wants to be the prince.
Everyone just can't wait to be king.
Who can't wait? Simba, his dad died, but I'd take his life any day of the fucking week.
I like Scar. I'm not Scar, though.
You like Scar?
He's like a fun character.
Yeah, but you don't use the word like.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You don't say, I like Scar.
You're right. But anyways, this girl was telling me that I can't like if I ever get a girlfriend, I gotta stop liking her stories. I'm like, just the cute ones?
I agree with that.
And she's like, no, you can't like any stories. First of all, did you know that, do you look at every person who watches your story?
No.
On Instagram?
No.
Me neither. But she was telling me, she's like, people know. She's like, women know. And that they'll look, like if an ex's new relationship, they'll know if they're starting to watch their story. If someone they're dating or someone they're talking to's ex, they'll know if they're, I'm like, I don't know the people who don't follow me that watch my story. I would never know if someone that I was talking to got a new boyfriend and now that guy's watching my story. I would have no idea.
I would have no idea also.
That's what she's like, no, we know.
But that's a better piece. We are at peace.
I know, but now I'm starting to, I'm like, should I be looking?
You shouldn't watch people's stories. One time I watched.
I shouldn't watch anyone's stories? I watch everybody's story. I'm also
people you don't follow. So they tell me who
really
shares the videos. And one time someone shared one of the videos and I watched. And they were like, oh, I saw you just watch my story. And I was like, oh, I really need to not watch people's stories.
I didn't know that. I learned a lot of these rules on Instagram recently.
Well,
I didn't know you can't like people's story that without it being flirty. I like so many people's fucking story. Do these people think I'm flirting?
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yep.
If I like something, it's genuinely. What if somebody posts a joke or somebody posts something that is intended to be funny? I like it. They're like, oh, obsessed with me?
Just say that's mad funny.
Respond.
Yeah.
Don't like. I'm thinking like is less aggressive.
No.
So liking somebody's story, this is flirt. They're like, oh. I was like, oh, I was kind of talking to somebody for a little bit. And they were like, oh, if you were to get serious, you can't like my stories anymore.
I think that's a good rule.
I didn't know that.
I think that liking is like seeing someone from across the bar and like raising your eyebrows at them or something.
This is news to me. I am not using it in that way.
It's like I see
you. I'm like, I like that.
It's like, I'll be over there in a minute.
I am not behaving that way online. I need to change.
It's like someone who has a boyfriend or a girlfriend or someone that like you know like you're friends with and actively not.
Yeah.
I mean, you like every one of my stories.
I like a lot of your stories.
I would say everyone.
Really?
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. I like a lot of fucking stories. I'm not even thinking.
I'm trying to.
Do you think I'm flirting for you?
I mean, you flirt with me all the time, but I would say that you're a little more blunt, more than that. I would say that's a little.
I am not meaning it in a flirty way. I need to. I'm catching myself now, and then I'm unliking it. I'm like, I liked it, and I'm like, ah, no, shit, I shouldn't do this.
Can I tell you
this
now?
Are they seeing the like and unlike?
I don't know. Can I tell you this?
What?
Now that you've said this publicly, you've just now officially made a stance that if you like a story, you're flirting with them.
I am saying it to hold myself accountable, yeah.
Okay.
But I could like my friend's stories.
I'm just letting you know. I'm just letting you know.
Maybe I can't like anybody's story.
That
Can I remove the feature from myself? Because I can't be trusted with it.
I mean, I removed people responding to my DMs because I can't be trusted with that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm learning about Instagram. I'm learning the rules as they happen.
People
have starting lineups. Girls have starting lineups of like 5 guys, that like 10 guys that like all their stories.
Yeah.
Am I in people's starting lineup?
Yeah, probably.
But if they like my story, I'm like, all right, I'm not thinking they're in love with me.
I don't know what to say, man.
I'm learning this.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that, yeah, it's good to know. It's good to be.
It is good to know.
It's okay to do that. It's good to be aware and then adjust.
Yeah.
You can't. As Jelly Roll says, we can't be looking in the rearview mirror so much. We need to be looking what's ahead of us.
I'm down with that. I do like some of her ass pics. I'll say that. The girl I went on a date with. So I don't want to be like, that's flirty.
We're having this
those are flirty, but sometimes people post non-flirty things or non-horny things.
Ass pics.
No, but I like a lot of different pics. Ass pics, obviously.
Here's
flirty.
The thing.
I know I got to stop liking ass pics if you like an start ass talking
pic,
to somebody.
You like them. If you like an ass pic and you like other ones of their stories, they think that you like them all.
Okay.
That's flirty the whole time.
Okay. All right. This is what I got to learn. I can't like any sexy photos.
No.
Okay.
No.
This is good to know.
Yeah. And I turned off DMs. It's nice because either people would respond. Like, people, if they have to reach me, they could DM me.
Yeah.
But, like, they would just react, and I would get into conversations or, like, and it's just that's.
Yeah.
It's nice to, like, have real life conversations, you know?
I agree.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, that's good. But I like that. Oh, we should we should say Happy Valentine's Day to all the people out there.
Oh yeah, it's basically Valentine's Day. Thank you everybody who bought a ticket to the show. The show sold out.
Nice. Congrats.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Thank you. So just Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. I hope that you have a beautiful day. I hope that people show up for you in the way that you want and expect and need. And if they don't, that's not a reflection on you. You know? It's could just be a day. Valentine's Day is a very easy day to ignore.
I love Valentine's Day. This will be my 10th Valentine's Day single.
Nice. I think that you're different than most people, though. I know. I'm like trying to like be there for people. Be like, it's
who
okay.
Care? It's funny.
People care.
It's embarrassing. Valentine's Day is so embarrassing.
People care. You can't yell, who cares?
I'm sorry. I'm being rude.
A lot of people get very disappointed on Valentine's Day.
I'm sorry. I want people to know I have been single for a long time and I like it. And it's, to me, a celebration.
You're single by your choice.
Sure.
You're not with someone that you want to be by your choice. So that's why it's easy.
I don't know about that. I mean, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
My choice.
Yeah, it's your choice. So I think that's also why it's nice.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. If you and your
But like it's the one day.
Just broke up and it's Valentine's Day. That's a hard day.
Sure.
If you're
I was talking to someone for a little bit who I know will be doing Valentine's Day activities with someone else. And I'm like, still like, I don't, Valentine's Day is so corny to me. It's corny. And I don't have to behave in this corny, like, I don't know. What is it? It's guys being like, I don't know what the fuck I can do. I got to buy flowers and take her out to dinner. Like, it's a lot of, it's like a forced corny thing, I guess, to me.
I think it's nice for someone if you're with them and like actively like boyfriend, girl, partners.
Would you do date night regularly?
When I was with someone?
And if you're with someone, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully. But also it's just a nice way to show.
It's nice to do it another
thing. It's just a nice time.
Yeah. All right. I'm so removed from it that I've always liked it.
You know how nice it feels for someone to remind you how much they love you?
Sure.
That's what it is.
It's an excuse for that.
It's an excuse. And I get it's like commercial bullshit, right? I get like it's corny, but it's just an excuse for a person, if you're partners with them, to remind you how much they love
you. There's just more significant days, I guess.
Yes, there are. But it doesn't like birthdays or holidays.
Yeah.
I mean, Christmas and birthdays.
Christmas, birthdays.
So just,
I don't
we're
know.
Just
surprises.
Another one in the mix.
Surprise. I don't know. You could surprise. We're going to go on vacation, like a nice vacation to treat
You've
ourselves.
You've never taken a woman on vacation.
I have gone on vacation with a woman.
Where?
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
To
the Poconos.
To your parents' houses?
Yeah, yeah. I've never. I never got an Airbnb.
So funny. You're just so funny.
What do you mean? It's
you
go, home away from home.
I surprised someone with vacation.
No, I didn't surprise them with vacation. In my dream relationship, I go on a lot of vacations, and I'm like, one day I'll bring a girl here. That seems more cool.
Right. I forgot. We're talking hypotheticals.
I live in hypotheticals.
You're right.
I don't live in this life that I live now. Where I'm a lifeguard.
No, that's the,
here's, what do you
I'm
mean?
Exactly. I'm fighting what you just said right there, right now. I need to live. I'm 34, man.
I'm
I
living
need to
a
be,
dream that doesn't exist.
No, I can't do that anymore.
Okay,
this
all
is
right.
literally what all I'm right, fighting.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
This is what I'm actively fighting and talking to people about.
Okay.
I need to stop waiting for something to happen.
You're right.
I need to stop waiting for the next good thing. I need to stop waiting, thinking everything's going to make me happy and better.
You're right.
I need to actively know this is my life in the moment, and I need to take steps to make myself happier.
You're right.
Because nothing big or major is going to – I can't expect that
I agree. And it was nice to go to Portugal, and you did live in the moment. And we had a lot of moments. I don't think of that many times.
The Staten Island wants to just make fun of you so much. The Staten
Island. Do it.
No, I'm not.
But it was –
what are you going to say about Portugal now?
I wasn't thinking the whole time, next time I come here, I'll bring a girl.
Because you're with me?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying it wasn't
well, the
that.
First time
I was
I
living
went to
in the
Portugal.
Moment. You lived in the moment.
I do live in the moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I
when
think
we
at
went
home
there.
I need to live in the
yes,
moment.
Yes, I agree.
And I can't – I know that you're like, I can't live the life that I'm a swim coach. That's you. I've been in
Lifeguard. I love the swim coaching.
Lifeguard. For me, I've been like an improv teacher for so long. I just – if I'm going to do it, I just need to find a way to be happy about it.
I agree.
I need to stop just like fight – like, yeah, I don't make a lot of money. I fucking do this bullshit.
You're right.
I just need to find a way to be happy about it.
I'm being stupid and you're right.
I know. I'm just working so hard outside
I know. You're right.
I can't like have these phantasmical feelings.
All right. You're right. I was being stupid and you're absolutely right. So don't.
I don't think I've said anything.
I don't
funny
actually.
The whole episode.
Fantasize.
I think all I've seen is this is like a jerk off. I'm like just basically seeing how much I can make
stuff
my heart
was funny.
Heart rate go
the
up.
The commercial stuff was funny.
So New York.
Okay.
New York was voted the most romantic city in the world.
Okay.
And people are like, how can New York be the most romantic city? The rats, the garbage. I think that's what makes it romantic.
Okay.
You know when I look best.
I agree.
You know when I look best? Not with the Alps behind me and a beautiful backdrop. With the guy that's peeing on the corner. They go, hey, Sebastian is beautiful. What makes romantic is a juxtaposition between something that is hard and rough next to something that's beauty. To find beauty in the rough is beauty. You know what's not beautiful? 1,000 roses. You're not like one rose I love so much. Because everything there is perfect. You know when you ever see a picture of a rose coming out of concrete, like a flower coming out of concrete?
Yes.
That's romance. To find the beauty in something that's nightmarish, something that is truly hard. You see a cockroach on someone's foot, but you could still look up in someone's eyes and be like, damn, I'm happy. That's what makes it romantic, New York.
I agree.
It's
always an adventure. There's an adventure in everything.
And adventures are romantic.
Adventures are very romantic.
You want spontaneity? New York has it.
You can be spontaneous. Exactly.
That is romantic.
You can be very spontaneous multiple times throughout the night. You finish dinner. What do you want to do? We could go see a live jazz musician. I don't know. We could go to
Usher.
I don't know. Like, you could do anything.
We don't have a car. Wait, honey. We do.
Yes.
That's it. And we're not in Tulsa where we need to go on our phones and get an Uber. I can put my hand up and we could be in a vehicle watching a clip of Sebastian Canelli.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
So here's the thing. I think that beauty isn't what makes it. New York isn't beautiful in that way.
No.
But that it not being beautiful in that way is what makes it romantic.
And there are places that you can go that are beautiful, that are adventurous to get to. And that is like, it's like, oh, we finally got here. There's a few spots you could go, and it's like, ah.
When I was in Colorado and I was in Denver driving to the mountains, it was all beautiful the whole drive. And when I got to the mountains, it was beautiful. But you know what would have made the mountains view even more beautiful is if it secretly emerged.
Yes.
So in Versailles, when they created all the fountains around Versailles, they literally purposely hid them. So you would be like in a shitty like maze of some like wedges, what are they called? The bushes? Wedges?
Sure.
You'd be like in a maze of bushes in Versailles. And then you turn a corner. It'd be ugly and you turn a corner and then see a beautiful, beautiful fountain. New York is that.
Yes.
And Versailles knew that. Those are people that knew about what beauty was. And they go, it can't be beautiful at every moment. You need to have moments where there's not beauty to find beauty. And that's what New York is.
Yes.
It's also something sexy about feeling on it, not on edge, but on your P's and Q's.
Yeah.
You're not at ease in New York.
Nah.
You're always a little on
guard. You know when you're never getting head? In a rocking chair.
Yeah.
You're too relaxed.
Too relaxed.
No one's ever catching boners in a rocking chair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sweet. Just sitting here getting hard.
Yeah.
No one's ever catch. I don't think anyone's ever gotten a boner in a rocking chair.
Yeah.
And if they have, it's some pervert at a Cracker Barrel. Right? It's too relaxing.
No, it's very, you're on the edge, which is sexy. It's exhilarating. Exhilaration is sexy.
It's very.
Which is something I lack, we'll say, in the bedroom. When it's just like being somebody else. I'm not good at creating like danger or mystery or whatever. But New York is a nice backdrop. I could kind of use it to my.
I think that for one
to play for me. Anyways, we're talking about my cousin, his friend, the two different New Yorks, the Brooklyn of being growing up here, and then the people that moved here, and how I guess like far. I don't know. They're very different, we'll say. But I'm talking to my cousin's friend yesterday at the Super Bowl party, who shows up at like 10 p.m. because he had a bunch of errands to run. He's running errands around his car all day. He has a car that's not street legal that he parks in front of a hydrant.
Of course.
Before and he comes up, whatever.
You know what? Nothing gives you the thrill. I don't need to skydive because occasionally I'll park in front of a hydrant.
Yeah.
That's how New Yorkers get thrills. We don't jump out of planes. We don't bungee jump. What do? We double park on an avenue for an hour. That'll get your heart racing.
Well, yeah.
That'll get you going.
He was telling me he's parking in. He goes, the only free lot in Queens. He was parking in at a diner's parking lot. And then he had his clearly not street legal car. Black windows.
Of
pitch
course.
Black windows.
Begging to get pulled over.
Yes. So he's like, then that car, the people at the diner were like, you can't park here anymore. He started taking a new car to this parking lot.
Yeah.
Then he just has to park in front of the hydrant, whatever. But he's telling me that there was like Temu commercials. You saw what Temu is? I didn't even know about Temu.
What is it?
It's like cheaper Amazon, I guess. It's like,
oh, yeah,
you go online.
Thing.
Yeah, the orange thing. And there was some Temu commercials. He's like, Temu was making commercials? He was like confused.
It's cheaper Amazon?
It's everything you could get. He's like, you could get everything under $8, basically. And he was getting like, he's like, I got Temu blankets. I got some clothes. Like, he's like, you got to know what to get.
I'll
but
you
could
this.
Get some good shit for under $8.
That has to be killing people.
What? That's what you're thinking. I mean, I went to China. I think it's a Chinese company. I went to China and I got like a lot of very cheap stuff. At, like, the Silk Market. I was getting jerseys for, like, $7. But I don't. He was just surprised. We were talking about Temu because he missed the whole fucking Super Bowl for the most part. And he's like, I bought my barber something on Temu. He was like, we were in, like, a situation, and he had to get him a present, and he went to get him the barber. He's telling him he's getting, like, hoodies, blankets, and he goes, I can get you anything under $8. And the barber wanted a safe. And he's like, I can't get the barber, whatever, a safe. So he tried to get him a safe off Temu and ended up being basically like a lockbox, which was like a $5 or whatever lockbox. And he gave him the, thing.
You think if you have something to protect that's worth putting in a safe.
Yeah, for sure.
That you would get something 100%. More, that you would invest 20
well,
bucks.
My buddy's like, he's talking, he's like, I just wanted to show him that you could get anything on Temu. He was telling him about Temu, whatever.
Sure.
And he was pissed at the barber because the barber didn't even acknowledge the $5 that he spent on the safe. He goes, he didn't take it off my. He's like, I don't even need to take him off my bill. I just want him to acknowledge.
He wants to be, hey, thanks for that.
Yeah, something. He ignored it. And I'm like, he was telling me he's pissed at a barber he saw today.
Yeah.
And I go, do you guys have like issue? Like, whatever. And he goes, oh, no, me and Vinny, we fight all the time. And I go, you fight all the time? What do you mean? He goes, let me show you this. So he pulls out his phone and he had into a text message argument with his barber. Now, mind you, my cousin and we're all 30. We're all the same age. My cousin and his friend have gone to the same barber since they're around 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin goes once a week. He goes, Joe goes once a week also. But there was a time he was like, when it was $13, I would go twice a week. Now, I don't know if you've seen anyone in your life besides your immediate family once a week since you've been 13 years old.
No, that's a very intimate relationship.
Extremely intimate relationship.
That's a mentor. That's someone that knows your life. What's happening?
This guy's like 8 years older.
Yeah. That's a cousin.
It's, yeah.
More than a cousin.
Because he's telling me they get into blowout fights, and then they go back. And they go back. He goes, I'm like, why do you go back? He goes, oh, I don't know. You know, it's just business. And, like, at the end of the day, it's easy. It's convenient. And I'm like, how are you getting into blowout fights with this guy? And then he's touching your hair. Like, it's an intimate thing, too. It's, like, yeah. a very – because he's touching you, too, once a week.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it's intimate in that way. So he goes, I think his issue – with the guy is he knows him. He's like, I know him for 17 years. He doesn't put me on the schedule. And the guy, the barber, schedules every 15 minutes he's got a new appointment.
He's doing 15-minute
cuts? 15-minute cuts. So that's why also my cut. And then
they're, what is he lying to?
Yeah, that's what Joe's issue is that 15-minute cuts, I'm never – so then if Joe's late –
my woman does an hour.
That's what my guy does too, an hour.
Because we take our time.
Yeah. No, he schedules every 15 minutes. He opened a new place too. They've been with this guy since forever, and then he opened his new place. They support his new place, but doing every. And then my cousin goes during the day on a Friday. He gets 20 minutes, and that's when my cousin's. I'm like, James, do you have any drama with this? And he goes, no, I got no drama because I go during the day, and he's like, Joe goes at night when it's crowded, whatever. Yeah. So it's every 15 minutes, and he sends me the combo. So the barber, Vinny the barber, goes, how long until you're here? 10 minutes. When you run late, you got to let me know because I have four people right now. He goes, I know my phone died. Can I see you Tuesday? He's like, I'm literally about to be there. So he goes in, and Joe's like, I go in, nobody's there, and Vinny won't take me. And I go, and Vinny goes, no, I can't do you, whatever. Can you come back on Tuesday? And Joe just goes, like, dramatic, whatever. And he goes, all right, okay, I'll come back on Tuesday. And then Vinny goes, no, I'll come, I'll take you. And Joe storms out. And then
they both sound like a problem.
Oh, wait. It's a toxic relationship. Joe tells me, he goes, I go home. I'm sitting there for hours waiting for him to text me and apologize. Doesn't send me an apology. He goes, yeah. So I text him. This is what he says. You can't have a haircut appointment every 15 minutes. Not right for the customer. I know you hustle for money, but when I wait outside 20, 30 minutes and I'm on time because you didn't take my appointment seriously. I got two tickets flying there so I could get a cut because I'm worried about the timing of you losing customers. For what? Question mark.
Zero chance he got any tickets.
He says he got two tickets.
Zero chance.
I believe him. I got to believe him.
No.
I mean, there's the cameras now.
I know. I don't believe him.
You don't believe him?
No.
I believe that he got two tickets. He brings it up again. So he goes, for what? Then he goes, this is my favorite part. He goes, I'll see you Tuesday. Not going to respond or read the answer to this. He's so frustrated that he's not going to respond or read the answer.
Even if you send me something, I'm not going to look at it.
No matter what. Listen, I have nothing personal. I just told you I have two people right now. I was waiting for you for 20 minutes. And when you wait outside for me, you know, I always try to squeeze you in at nighttime. I always stay here until 8 o'clock sometimes just to cut your hair. I appreciate your service. Now,
just
this is the
to
third.
Cut your hair.
Well, they know each other.
He's a barber.
That's his job.
He's a barber. He goes, I stay late just to do my job.
Yeah.
They're literally looking for any excuse, any leverage. It's a leverage game, these two.
Well, yeah, just wait. I always stay here till 8 o'clock. Well, I think the issue is Vinny doesn't put him on the schedule and thinks he can just squeeze him in. But then also Joe is like, Vinny's my guy. I could go whenever. And they both have this – it's a constant power play of like 5 minutes. Like neither one wants to waste 5 minutes of the other person's time. But he goes, I appreciate your service. You could have just told me, okay, can I come back at 5:15? I'll definitely take you. It's just that I have neck pain today, very bad, and I'm kind of not in the mood. I've pinched a nerve in my neck. So now he's going, because if there's nobody there and you won't take him, I get why Joe's pissed.
One person's getting tickets. The other person's got a pinched nerve.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. It's escalating.
This is incredible.
It's escalating to something serious. Then he goes, now this is Joe.
Who responds?
Yeah, of course. He goes, I'll see you Tuesday. I'm not going to read anything. Sucks that it's like this, but I have no other choice. But then he goes, he waits.
Wait, he has all the choice in the world because he made the rules.
Of course.
Oh, go ahead.
Then he waits, and he goes, I waited to see how long the four people would come by onto, not too soon. So he waited in the parking lot to be like, he's got four people coming, and there's nobody in the thing. He wants to see if Vinny's lying.
People are so petty.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I don't think people realize. Like, this is Italians get mad if they feel disrespected or slighted at all. It's like a very much it could be blown up. This is what The Sopranos is about.
it's part of what
it's about. Part. I mean, there's the big thing, but the small things sometimes become even bigger than the big things.
Yeah.
People die in The Sopranos.
I mean, the whole Jenny Sack.
The Jenny Sack thing.
Yeah.
I think somebody makes a comment about Phil Leotard because his last name's Leotard. Like they, very small things go a long way. The whole first season, people find out Junior goes down on somebody. They're like,
I know.
There's small power plays always being at bay.
Well, it also if I got a text being like, hey, I saw, I waited to watch four people come in, I would be like, send me the tickets.
Oh, then you would
send
call.
Send me the tickets. I'll pay for it. Well, I'll say I'll pay for them.
I don't think he would.
No, but I don't think
you would call his bluff.
I would call his bluff.
Interesting.
I would be willing to throw down 120 to see that he got two tickets.
Yeah.
And I go, if you only got one, if it's not two.
Interesting.
I'll go, send me the tickets.
Bluff. No, I think they both want to escalate it.
I know.
I think they're both allowing.
Well,
like,
I'm escalating
like
in my own way.
You want to escalate in your own way.
Yeah.
Then he's going, not practical for a customer to take every 15 minutes for money, which I agree. At a certain point. And then Joe's going on me. He's like, he's always
shaving heads.
Well, that's what he said. He's like, he's always trying to get one over on me. He'll be like, your beard looks good this week. I don't need to do it. And he goes, I'm paying you a full, because now Vinny's, it used to be $13. It's up to $44 for the haircut with the tip. And my cousin goes, I bring him coffee every week. So my they all like want to keep. Then they're also, he's the best guy in the neighborhood. Nobody, you can't go to anybody else. He's got a monopoly. That's what they're also saying.
Bullshit.
Which I believe. I don't know their neighborhood.
I don't know.
I mean, you could go somewhere else, but that's what I'm saying. They don't want to go.
It's also clout. You go to Vinny? I go to Vinny.
I don't know. In that neighborhood, I don't know. I guess maybe in its own way.
People would be like brag about who their barber was.
Really?
Yeah, in Staten Island. It would be like, oh, I go to Goodfellas. I go to this guy. I remember when I was in junior high, I started going to Goodfellas barbershop just to be cool. Not even for the type of haircut they would give me, so I could go to Goodfellas and say I went to Goodfellas.
Interesting. They're saying he put him on at 13.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He's the best. He's the best in the neighborhood. I guess shut down, but I think a few of them have not been able to survive
COVID and stuff.
Just like the last few years.
This guy didn't socially distance. He was cutting hair.
He did. No, that's what Joe's saying. He goes, I was meeting him behind a bus during COVID, keeping his business alive, giving him all my money. He goes, I mean, he's been with this guy.
You know that guy's surcharging behind the bus.
Yeah. He's been with him 17 years. This is one of his longest relationships. Whatever. So he goes on like a 5-text fucking thing. Uh-huh. And then Vinny the Barber just says, okay. So then Joe comes back. He's pissed then. He goes, more things of like, giving him, I guess, ways that he could make his business better. And then Vinny goes, because I could always squeeze you in between somebody, and not when you're running late and I have somebody right now. Bro, no hard feelings. I'm sorry if I fucked up today. I'll see you Tuesday. I just left work. Then Joe sends like a really long message, just basically reiterating how it's fucked up that you take people every 15 minutes, whatever, the whole 9 yards. Gives him more. I paid $80 for the tickets, not even a cut. Just shocking to see no one there. I mean, I get why he's pissed. Like, nobody's there. You could cut my hair. It takes 10 minutes. I know you forever.
I just can't stand when people repeat the same fucking points over and over again, though.
In arguments.
I can't.
I mean, that's just what.
That's
do
what
you
this
argue?
Is. Do I argue?
Not
no.
like that. I mean,
I guess
I grew up around people that argued over stuff.
I'm bad
shit.
At arguing.
Yeah.
I shut down.
I grew up around people that argue over like small things like that.
Yeah, I don't argue.
No.
When someone starts repeating the same points to me several times, I shut down.
You're like, completely. That's it.
I'm like, oh, this isn't a conversation. You just want to say what you want to say, and I want to say what I want to say.
But that's what it is. It's almost therapy.
Like
no, of course you don't like that. But I'm saying this is, yeah.
That makes me very uncomfortable. And I feel like there's no communication flow. No one's listening.
Yeah.
When someone repeats the same point 3 times to me in an argument, I go, what are we doing here?
Yeah. No, but you don't.
If I don't acknowledge it, and I usually acknowledge something.
Yeah. No, this is very familiar to me, we'll say.
Yeah.
So he sends this whole thing. Then next text message, one day later. Let me know about today. 6:45. Okay, cool.
That's it.
He goes in, gets a haircut.
No words.
He goes, I had to break the ice a little bit. So I go up to him. I tap him on the shoulder. I go, hey. Gives him the way we're going to fight. Vinny flinches a little bit. He goes, we laugh. I dap him up. He cuts my hair. I tell him about Timu. He gets him the safe. Then he got a haircut again yesterday.
Nice.
But just to have this whole argument.
Yeah.
And then he goes, Robbie, I'll tell you something, though. The comeback cuts, they're the best cuts.
Like, it's breakup sex.
Like it's breakup sex. When they have a big fight, he comes back, and Vinny gives him the best fucking cut. He goes, Robbie, that's the best cuts.
You know what? It's like, you know he's not even trying. Then when he realizes that he could lose you, he's putting his whole fucking hands into the cuts. He's putting
the beard. Yeah. I mean, that's what it is.
Damn. Yeah.
But I just thought it was so funny, this relationship that he has with his barber. And I'm like, it's not much like that.
Nah.
That you have an 18-year relationship with these people. And I'm like, it's so different, his world.
People.
Than the people that my friends have moved here and live in, like, Greenpoint or Williamsburg. Or I'm like, they live in two different New Yorks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, I'm just
constant. And you're kind of in the middle.
I don't fit in either worlds, really.
No. I mean, clearly you're not built for this.
I'm not built for that. I'm not built for the
like, blowout fights with your barber once a month. I mean, most people are, I would say.
I would leave.
My cousin's not. My cousin gives him a tea every week. He goes, me and Vinny, we have a good relationship.
See, but I would.
I got to go.
I would be your cousin.
You would be like, more on my cousin's
I would know way. The rules, and I would follow them.
Yeah. But what's also, I get where Joe's at, where he's like, he can't go during work hours. So I got to go when it's busy. And I've been with this guy 17 years.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all toxic.
It's toxic.
I don't need that in my life.
No, of course.
Hey, what type of haircuts again? A tape up?
Yeah, usually. Fade. But they're telling me how he's really good at cutting. That he cuts with your hair, all the other guys in the neighborhood. I mean, clearly they know them. I mean, also they just know him for that many years.
Yeah.
I bet you he's good.
Better be.
Of course.
Better be.
But I just thought it was such a funny relationship.
It is. That's interesting. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, we should wrap up. This has been a long one.
Yeah.
But happy to be back. Happy to be here. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the pod. Please share with a friend. That would mean the world to us. That's very important. If you could get more people listening, that's truly the best. I love when people are able to share an episode. That makes us so happy to see on the Instagram or wherever you are sharing. And if you want to check out the Patreon, that'd be nice. We're going to do a Patreon episode right now, right after this. Beautiful. Anything else, Robbie?
No, that's it.
Beautiful. All right, Robbie, hit the music.